God has a long history of using not the most likely people, but the less than likely or even least likely people to further his plan. From the beginning, the people of God seemed determined to foil the plan or muddy the waters. Adam and Eve couldn't follow the instructions of the one who walked with them in the garden in the cool of the evening. Their son Cain was reduced to homicidal violence against his brother in a fit of jealousy. And things just seemed to go from bad to worse with God's choice of fit candidates to carry out his plan. The chosen freedom fighter murdered an Egyptian, then went into hiding prior to leading God's people through the waters of the Red Sea to freedom. Then there was David, widely known to be the greatest king ever to rule the Israelites, and he was a philanderer of the highest order, who went so far as to have the husband of his love interest murdered so he could get what he wanted. And the story continues to this very day of God using the most obviously flawed and imperfect and unlikely to further his plan of redemption and salvation. Who better to point to the working of God than flawed, imperfect, and unlikely people? Today we have another piece of this story, which again shines a light on God's chosen ones not being what we would expect and probably not who we would choose. The young woman Mary has just had a visitation from the angel Gabriel, in which she agreed to be used to further God's plan. She's not much more than a girl of modest means and not particularly significant when Gabriel bursts into her home in all his radiant angelic glory. But she's a young woman of great character and is told that God has found favor with her. And rather than stammer and stutter or sit in stunned silence, Mary was able to carry out a coherent conversation with the angel, and she allowed herself to be used by God, to be overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and become the one to bear the Christ child. Before Gabriel left Mary that day, he dropped another bombshell of information. He informed Mary that her much older cousin Elizabeth, who had been barren all her life, was now pregnant too, 6 months into her pregnancy. There would be two children born under very unusual circumstances. Miraculous circumstances, in fact. So Mary took off to spend time with her cousin Elizabeth. She rushed to be with her. There is a connection, not only of family, but of circumstance, and she knows that they need to spend time together. And the minute Mary arrives at the home of Elizabeth and Zechariah, Elizabeth knows what has happened with Mary. Maybe Mary sent word ahead, or that Elizabeth had been given the news through a vision or an angelic visitation. Elizabeth knows. She's greeted by Mary. Magdalene greets her, acknowledging that she is carrying the Lord, the long-awaited one. She's no doubt delighted by her own pregnancy that caused such a stir in Judea, leaving her husband unable to speak for the duration of the pregnancy, and Elizabeth herself in seclusion for 5 months. And yet she realizes that her young cousin's pregnancy is even more spectacular. She is to be the mother of the Lord. And not only does Elizabeth know this, but her unborn son, John, who will be the baptizer, acknowledges this as well by leaping in her womb. Two miraculous conceptions. Two unlikely candidates, an old woman and an unmarried young girl. And Mary says to her cousin a beautiful poem, which is reminiscent of the words of the ancient older mother, Hannah, upon hearing of her own unlikely pregnancy with Samuel. Mary says, her soul magnifies the Lord, and her spirit rejoices in God her Savior. She rejoices in her very spirit that God has chosen her for his purpose, because for Mary, this young woman with no place in society, God's choice of her and of her aged cousin Elizabeth is an indication that God has a plan in mind to change the world. A plan in mind where the world no longer functions in the way it always has. Mary understands how odd it is that God would choose her. She's not part of a royal family. She has no means. She's not wealthy or beautiful or brilliant. She's not powerful or strong. She's pretty much on the bottom rung of the hierarchical chain, and God's choice of her means that a big change is in the works for the order of the world. Eugene Peterson's translation of Scripture into modern language, The Message, translates Mary's words. I am bursting with God news. I am dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me, and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God, whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength, scattered the bluffing braggarts. He knocked tyrants off their high horses, pulled victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich were left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies, piled them on high. It's exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham and right up to now. In this jubilant song of praise, Mary acknowledges the upside-down nature of God's coming to his people. Those who are of high estate are brought low, and those who have nothing, the lowly and downtrodden, are lifted to places of honor. Mary has been brought into God's plan and has entered into God's time, where there is no beginning or end, no before or after. We see this because we know that there are still tyrants on high horses and bluffing braggarts. There are still victims in the mud, starving poor, and callous rich who are not out in the cold. We are still in our own time, and God's plan has yet to be worked out in full, but we have a glimpse, as did Mary and Elizabeth and their ancestor Hannah and many more. A glimpse that God's plan is and will come to fruition in God's time. God is still very much working in our world. God's plan is still unfolding, and it is still unfolding in the most unlikely places with the most unlikely people. People just like you and like me. Listen for the voice of God speaking to you, bringing you into the plan. Watch for the movement of God in places that you would never expect. Remember, God is not looking for the flashiest, shiniest, most brilliant and powerful, but those who would go unnoticed if not for God's involvement in their lives. And that is good news.